Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Now, when I did this at the 9 o'clock service, I did not realize that the movie Apollo 13 is Leanne's favorite movie of all time. Did not know that. But it's just a God thing, right? Just a God moment. Is that possible? Now, when I get into talking a little bit here, I'm going to read the scripture and talk a little bit. But I'm going to occasionally turn around to you and I'm going to say, Houston. All right? Now, for those of you that have seen the movie, you know what comes next. So are you ready? Houston.
We have a problem.
Very good. Okay, let's try it one more time. Houston.
We have a problem.
Now, I'm going to read the scripture a little bit and talk a little bit. Now, I'm not going to read all 13 chapters of Genesis. I'm hearing some people out there go, whew, thank you, Jesus. But we're going to read a little bit of it. Now, a lot has happened in between the reading last week of where we talked about Abraham, and then we get here to Joseph. There's a lot of stuff in between, a whole lot of stuff. There's deceitful brother-in-laws. There are going back to Mesopotamia and raising new sheep. There's seeing angels going up and down between heaven. There's wrestling with God that goes on. Jacob's renamed. He goes from being Jacob, which means the deceiver, the striver, to being named Israel, someone who wrestles with God. We're all Israel, aren't we? Aren't we all Israel? And then barren women, concubines, there's a lot of stuff there. You ought to read it. It's really exciting. It's a lot of fun. Ought to read it. But now we've gotten here to Joseph. And you can tell right off the bat that there's some issues that the author who has stitched this together in Babylon, he's taken the narrative of the north, taken the narrative of the south, and placed it together, juxtaposed it side by side, and then stitched it together with some of his own comments, or their own comments, we don't know who they are, and they put it together there for us. So as I'm reading through here, and I turn around and you say, Houston, you'll say, we have a problem, until we get to the end where I think we've got a solution that's out there for us. I'm starting on page 34 of your pew Bibles, if you want to read along with me, but I'm going to be bouncing back and forth between the Word of God and my own digressions a little bit here. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, now with the understanding of what I was once 17, I know it's hard to believe, but I was once 17, but Joseph, being 17 years old, Houston,
we have a
right away, I think the author is telling you we're dealing with a little bit of an immature personality, someone who's not quite ready for some of the things that be about to be bestowed on him, and as I read through, you'll get to see a little bit of the challenges and problems that he has. I've joked around about John the Baptist. I'm not sure I'd invite John the Baptist over for a glass of beer. Come on. I'm just not sure if I would pal around on the playground with Joseph. Okay, you'll see why. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. Now, the storyteller's being kind. It was his father's concubines. Father's concubines. These were the hand servants, the maid servants to Joseph's to the two women that are Leah and Rachel. And these other two ladies are helpers, maidservants to them. And Jacob has children by all four of these women. So it's in a sense, you're getting here this very early, this caste system that seems to exist in Jacob's household. The author doesn't use, this is a dysfunctional family, but he's giving you some real strong hints real quickly here. All right, and so he's telling you right away that Joseph is out working with his half-brothers that are the children of the concubine. It's almost like there's three classes of children here. You've got the children of the concubines, the children of Leah, and then the children of Rachel. Okay? The people, I must be right. John Davidson has nodded his head at me here. So I must be doing this one about right. So, and we get this, the children of the Rachel is up here at the top. And Joseph is a son of Rachel. Okay? Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Houston?
We have a problem.
Joseph is ratting out his brothers. Okay? Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children. Do you think, Houston, do you think?
We have a problem.
Duh? What? I mean, think about this. Yeah, everybody here who's a parent, could you imagine what it'd be like inside of your household that if you had a clear favorite? Wow. Dysfunctional family 101. It's amazing here. And so it gets worse. And then after it gets worse, it gets almost said worser at 9 o'clock. It's more worse, I think. Okay? Because now, Jacob does not only acknowledge that, he now does something about it. Because he made Joseph a long coat with sleeves. Now, this is a pre-Walmart world. I know some of you have never heard the word, attention Walmart. Is it Kmart? Kmart? Attention Kmart shoppers. I know some of you have never heard those words, but I have. I know what it sounds like. And so the idea of going down to the Kmart, the Walmart, places like that to buy clothing, didn't exist. Anything you had, any clothing you had, was very special. It took a long time to generate it, and it was a way of differentiating you in class and status between you and other people. And apparently, Jacob, also known as Israel, does not buy the other 11 brothers a coat, this long sleeve coat. Now, the coat of many colors comes from the Greek and the Latin. That's where we get that from. In the Hebrew, it appears to be a coat, something like I've got on here. Long sleeve coat. All right. I won't tell Andrew Lloyd Webber he has to rewrite his musical. Okay, I won't do that. All right. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his other brothers, they hated him. You think so? Wow. And could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. We'll find out why. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more. Even more. As if they didn't hate him enough before, they've really got it in for him now. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. Now, I go back to the comment. So Joseph was 17. Houston, we have a problem. Part of this, I think, is brought on by Joseph's immaturity. Joseph's immaturity. And he goes and tells a similar dream to his father, and his father's even confused by this. It's like he is going to be the center even of his father's life. His father's going to have to lay down and obey him. I won't go through the whole Joseph novella. I won't go through the whole story. But it's a roaring yarn. I mean, you really ought to sit down and read it sometime before a football game, as long as the team you're rooting for has any prospect of winning. Okay. All right. So sit down and read it sometime. 13 wonderful chapters out of Genesis. They're great. He goes through this whole story of getting to Egypt, getting accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to assault her sexually. Blah blah blah. There's a whole series of things. Some of them deal with dreams, but eventually he gets to a place and his brothers have to come back and bow down before him. Okay. And he is able to then give them a food that they can use to sustain it, brings his father in. But his brothers have tried to reach some kind of reconciliation with him, but they're just a little nervous. They wonder if perhaps they're not alive because their father was alive, and that when their father dies, it's going to be the end of them. All right? So Jacob, also called Israel, dies. And then we have this scene where the brothers come to talk to Joseph. And they tell him that this is their father's last request, and I'm on page 48 of the Pew Bible, "Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, 'We are here as your slaves.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is going today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones.' In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them." Despite coming out of a disruptive family, a family of origin that has all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems associated with it, mothers that are loved more than other mothers, children that are loved more than other children, children that seem to be subordinate to somebody else based upon status or birthplace. Despite all of that, by the time we get to the mature Joseph at the end of the story, he is able to say that although you intended this for evil, God has turned it for good. The word in Hebrew that is here is not so much intended it for good as much as it's a word that has to do with weaving or creating a tapestry. It's a primitive root, and it has to do with weaving or fabricating. And so what I liked instead of this idea of God intended it for evil and God intended it for good, excuse me, like it was foreordained, it's that we still have this human condition entered in there where we are indeed the players in this drama. Our own human, our own free will comes into it. God takes our free will and is able to craft it in such a way and use it in such a way that he's able to turn it to good. And how does he do that? By weaving together the various component parts of a new story, a new fabric, a new tapestry that is created out of this bad set of circumstances, bad family, and a bad situation that causes this to happen. So the question of the day for us this October day in 2016 is, where are you in the story? What's going on with you in the story? Have you had circumstances in your life? Have you had places in your life that would justifiably cause you to be bitter, to be angry, to be in a non-forgiving way? My guess is that all of us have something like that that's happened to us. You can make two choices. You can do what Joseph's brothers expected him to do and continue to be righteously indignant, or you can behave like Jesus. You can behave like Joseph. You can behave in such a way that you take this bad set of circumstances that has occurred, human free will run amok, run flawed, and instead, you can take that narrative and through God's grace, the power of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can weave a new tapestry. You can create a new quilt out of the elements of your life. What the people have intended for evil, God, through you, through your faith, through you following the way of Jesus in the world, can turn it to a new story, a new beautiful story through you. This is the Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.